Let's cross back now to Simon Marks, our US correspondent in Washington. Are you there, Simon?
I am indeed, Clive.
Right. I've got a couple of questions that have come in from listeners who've been following things, so I'm going to throw those at you as well. But first of all, let's get a little bit of an update on Super Tuesday then. What's the state of play at the moment?
Well, Joe Biden absolutely cruising to victory in the Democratic primaries, of course, as expected, because he faces absolutely no meaningful opposition. I mean, there is one younger Democrat congressman running against him, Dean Phillips from Minnesota, but he's making no headway whatsoever. So a very good night for Joe Biden down there at the White House. Also, there's no sign of a major protest vote against Joe Biden in those states where Democrats do have the option, as 13% of them did in Michigan last week, to vote uncommitted to register their unhappiness with the President of the United States. So I think Joe Biden's campaign managers, for once, will have something to smile about. They certainly haven't had much to smile about over the course of the last few days. But on the Republican side, which is where most of the interest is, Donald Trump is poised almost to have a clean sweep tonight. It still looks quite possible that Vermont is going to be the only state this Super Tuesday that Nikki Haley wins. At the moment in Vermont, with just over half the vote counted, it is a nail biter. There, Donald Trump currently has 48.5% of the vote. Nikki Haley has slipped behind with 47.1% of the vote, but the New York Times is still projecting that she is going to win the state. Everywhere else, Donald Trump with massive margins of victory projected. In Alabama, he's expected to win with an advantage of 66% over Nikki Haley. In Arkansas, 53%. In Minnesota, 40%. In North Carolina, 51%. Oklahoma, 65%. Tennessee, 56%. Texas, the Lone Star State, Donald Trump projected to have an advantage of 54% over Nikki Haley. Those are enormous gaps between Donald Trump and Nikki Haley. And even if she does secure victory in Vermont and manages to hold Donald Trump to 25 to 30 percentage points advantage in a couple of other states, there are going to be enormous questions about whether her quest for the Republican nomination at this point isn't entirely futile. And as she spends her night in her home state of South Carolina, she's got a big decision to make. Does she throw in the towel now based on the size of Donald Trump's victory, or does she keep soldiering on, again engaged in what is clearly a futile quest for the presidency? But as we were talking about in the last hour, perhaps she has other motivations and she's got her eyes on the future.
So a couple of questions for you. Eric says via WhatsApp, does Simon think Trump is likely to be jailed before November?
I do not think that Trump is likely to be jailed before November, and I'll tell you why. As you know, Eric, he is facing four separate criminal trials. Two of them are federal in nature. One relates to election interference. There is no indication of a trial date being set anytime soon because that proceeding is held up while the Supreme Court considers Donald Trump's entirely specious claim that he enjoys blanket immunity for everything that he did as president. The second federal trial is on the mishandling of classified documents. That's being held in Florida. The judge in the case down in Florida, a Trump appointee, seems set to push the beginning of the trial back into the long grass. The Georgia case relating to election interference is in all sorts of trouble because the Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis, who brought the charges, has now conceded that she was having an affair with one of the prosecutors that she appointed to lead the case against Donald Trump. So that, for the moment, has been derailed down a legal tributary. The only case that I think is likely to come to trial this side of the summer is the one in New York that relates to the hush money payments that he made to adult film actress Stormy Daniels. And there's no serious expectation that that is going to result in jail time. The further we get down the road, the more Donald Trump is able to delay some of these other proceedings, the closer we get to Election Day, the harder it is going to be for, I think, these trials actually to begin. Because once we get through this primary process, and he's had millions of people voting for him, I think that there will be a question about the fundamental fairness of expecting him not to be able to campaign for the presidency while showing up and going into the dock for criminal prosecution. And I think that's a conversation that the country has not yet started to have, but will be having within a matter of weeks. And I suspect that most of these cases are going to end up getting delayed and kicked even further into the long political and legal grass.
In fact, if any of those cases did disrupt his campaigning, it might presumably give him even more support. He'll be seen as a bit of a victim, and there might be some sympathy there.
Yeah, and certainly the opportunity, Clive, to carry on claiming, as he has done, with great effect, that he is the subject of persecution by the judicial authorities who are engaged in election interference. I mean, once we get, 3 months away, 4 months away from the presidential election, once we get into the conventions in July and August, and then possibly on to presidential debates if they occur, at that point, Donald Trump's argument that putting him on trial is election interference, I suspect, could find even more resonance with voters than the argument that he's already advanced.
Now, Graham says, if the Democrats dump Biden, who would be chosen? And if Biden dumps Kamala Harris, who would his running mate be?
Well, first of all, there's no immediate mechanism for the Democrats to dump Biden, especially after tonight, as he wins all of these races. It would really have to be Biden deciding to dump Biden and deciding that he is going to go to the convention in August in Chicago and say, well, I tell you what, I've given it a rethink. I'm not going to move forward and be the candidate. And at that point, he would have the power to tell his delegates, the delegates that he's racking up tonight in all of these primaries and caucuses, who to get behind. And if he did not pick Kamala Harris, that would obviously be massively problematic because he would essentially be saying to the Democratic Party that he doesn't think that she is capable of being president of the United States. That would lead to ructions at the convention. I mean, the other people that are out there potentially include Governor Gretchen Whitmer, of Michigan, Governor Gavin Newsom of California. I mean, it's interesting, this week we're seeing the Transportation Secretary, Pete Buttigieg, the former mayor of, I'm now forgetting the town that he was the mayor of, but a former mayor, Mayor Pete, he's out there campaigning for Donald Trump in the run-up to Thursday's State of the Union address. It's perfectly possible that any one of those people would want to throw their hat into the ring, but Joe Biden is evincing no indication that he's thinking of dropping out. Indeed, he gave an interview to the New Yorker magazine that was published over the weekend, again insisting that he beat Donald Trump in 2020, he's going to beat him soundly in 2024, and he said to all of those people raising questions about his ability to win, they have written him off time and time again and regretted doing so in the past, and he believes that he's going to be able to produce lightning in a bottle one more time.
And if you've got time, I've got a question here from Hazel, who says, hello, Simon. How does the American system work that it's possible for someone like Trump, who's never held public office, e.g. governor or senator, to run for the presidency?
It's a very good question, Hazel. I mean, he had, of course, never even run for dog catcher, although he had made one previous effort to become president of the United States when he ran as the presidential candidate very briefly for the Reform Party. That predated 2016. But you're absolutely right. I mean, anybody can run for the presidency. And we've seen other people in this cycle running for the Republican nomination. Vivek Ramaswamy, for example, the biotech billionaire, again, never ran for the school board, never ran for dog catcher, threw his hat into the ring and said, I'm going to run for the presidency. Anybody can run. I mean, there's no requirement, of course, because it's not a parliamentary system, so you don't have to be elected to Congress to run. All you have to do is amass sufficient support to get on the ballot in all of these different states. And obviously that's part of this primary process that is playing out. I mean, Americans would say that is one of the strengths of their democracy. It means that you don't have to be a member of the political elite in order to become president of the United States. Observers would look particularly, many observers would look particularly at Donald Trump this election cycle and over the last two and say, well, perhaps it isn't the greatest thing in the world that anybody can give it a go. But look, I mean, give Donald Trump credit. Who would have imagined that we would be going into the morning after the night before, Super Tuesday, 2024, and Donald Trump would once again be the undoubted presidential standard bearer for the Republican Party? Whatever you think of Donald Trump, it is an astounding political achievement, especially given all the numerous obstacles that he's overcome already in this presidential race. And there are more of them out there, including those criminal trials that he is going to have to find a way of navigating beyond all the way up to Election Day in November.
And I've got a quick question here as well about they're still counting. So how do they do these projections? How do they know that when they say we're calling it for this or that, how do they know?
So it's all based on exit polling, largely based on exit polling, which means that the broadcast networks have pollsters who stop voters on their way out of the primaries and the caucuses. And of course, they factor into that that a certain percentage will either decline to answer the question or perhaps even deliberately mislead the pollster. But the other thing they do is crunch numbers that are based on the months of polling that has already taken place in all of these states and historical voting patterns, literally county by county by county. So it's interesting that so far they haven't actually projected a winner in Vermont, because it's clearly very, very close, and they're looking at individual counties to see voting patterns and voting trends. And by the way, sometimes they get it wrong. I mean, if you recall, I think Bush-Gore back in 2000, there were projections that were then withdrawn by some of the networks after they were made. So it's carefully calibrated. It is not 100% cast iron guaranteed that these numbers are going to hold up, but they are based on some pretty complicated mathematical studies and based on research, and invariably they project the result of a state when they're absolutely confident that the voting patterns and the numbers that they're seeing mean that there's no chance of the shoe suddenly being on the other foot.
And I've got one final email question here, which says, why is Simon not on Twitter anymore? Are you ever going to post anything anymore? You haven't done for months,
well,
apparently.
That's an interesting question. I have not. I withdrew from Twitter
a
while ago. I am actually still on Twitter. I graze. I don't post. You can find me on a couple of other social media platforms, the lesser known, less popular Mastodon. And I'm also now on Blue Sky as well. And if you go to my Twitter profile, you'll see a link there, I think, to the Mastodon feed. I have to say I've found that Twitter, you know, especially in the now, what, over a year since Elon Musk took it over, and now in the over a year since Elon Musk decided that he was going to allow all sorts of people back on Twitter, I found it becoming a less useful platform to be on. It was taking up too much of my time. So, but you can find me elsewhere if you look hard enough.
Excellent. Simon, thank you very much. Really appreciate it. Simon Marks there in Washington. 0345 6060 973. More coming up in a moment on LBC.